Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah,
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. We got Fleegs on the other side. We're taking your calls at 888-808-1019 till we get to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, where they will be discussing what I will be discussing, what we will be discussing all morning long, all afternoon long, probably all evening long here on the fan. To me, what we saw yesterday out in London may very well be the worst head coaching job I have ever seen. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's some sort of, you know, slave to the moment kind of over the top reaction. I think that's as poorly a coached game as I've ever seen in my life. And I know Lori brought up the Joe Judge running quarterback sneaks. Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. Because, and you know me, if you listen to me, and it's not just Aaron Boone, and not to bring up the Yankees, but it's not just Aaron Boone or anybody else. I am not quick to blame the coach. I am much more put the onus on the players. I typically lean that way. Not just Aaron Boone, who I know I get criticized for being supportive of. Like, any coach, I typically will look at the players and try to put the blame on them. And God knows Justin Fields was terrible. He was awful in this game. Awful. And we'll get to all the different ways he was awful. But the head coach made some of the more astounding, baffling, hard-to-understand decisions I've ever seen. And obviously, it starts with what we all want to talk about and what jumped out of on the screen to us, what made Kurt Warner want to rip his hair out, what was the more puzzling couple of minutes I've ever seen on a football field is the end of the first half situation where I don't know what the hell he's doing. I don't know what the hell he's doing. The way this coach handled that situation, and you could call it coaching scared, as Laurie was. You could call it whatever you want. Like, it wasn't just scared. It was dumb. It made absolutely no sense. It contradicted itself in many ways. Why on earth? Like, first of all, you get the ball. You show no interest to throw the football down the field, right? You are running the football. Kurt Warner is losing it. Losing it! You get fourth and one. You decide to go for a fake punt. Aaron Glenn showed a fake punt, a play that they hope to surprise teams with. Showed a fake punt to get 1 yard, and that is designed for a short yardage fake punt. Instead of just running out there, run the football, he pulls a fake punt, shows everybody in the NFL his fake punt. He does that just to continue to run the clock out so Denver doesn't get the ball. That entire sequence screamed two things. One, I don't want Denver to get the ball back. And two, I don't trust my quarterback to throw the football down the field at all. at all. And here's my main problem with what happened in yesterday's game. Here's where I don't understand the contradiction or the thought process of this coach in that moment. He tells the Denver Broncos, he tells the rest of the NFL, he tells the fan base, and he tells his own team that he doesn't trust this quarterback. And I get why. He's got awful. The 9 sacks, look at it. I'll give you all the numbers. We'll go through them. An average sack is somewhere around 4 seconds. He's holding the ball for 5.5 seconds average on those 9 sacks. He's holding the ball. He can't make decisions. All the things we talked about Justin Fields before they brought him in. Everything we talked about. Yes, he can run. Yes, he has an arm. But he is unable to read the field. He is unable to be accurate. He is unable to get the ball out. This is exactly why Mike Tomlin, even with a winning record, decided to keep him on the bench while Russell Wilson was falling apart down the stretch of the season. Because this dude can't play quarterback in the NFL. And we'll get to speaking about Mike Tomlin and what's going on with Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers. God forbid he was here to ruin the winning culture that Aaron Glenn is establishing here with the Jets. He needs to be the alpha male. And Aaron Rodgers might have, you know, hindered that. But he tells the Broncos, the NFL, the fan base, and his own team at the end of the half that he does not trust this offense, that he does not trust Justin Fields to make plays down the field. Clear as day. Screamed it. And then he sticks with him for the second half. I don't understand that thought process. How could, and then, you know, he to the point where his star wide receiver is yelling at him on the sidelines, baffled by the decision, as we watch 20 seconds click off the clock. On the last play, they just don't even want to run a play. They were happy. They were happy that they did not give the ball back. That was all that was required in that drive. That's how little this coach thinks of his offense, trusts his quarterback. And then he tells his team that. He tells his star wide receiver that. And then he doesn't go to Tyrod Taylor, who is possibly the most adequate backup quarterback in the NFL. You brought him in here for a reason. Yes, it was to back up old man Rodgers. You kept him because you had a young kid. He is the most accomplished and successful and arguably talented backup quarterback in the NFL. He's a little older. And he can't stay healthy is his problem. But this is a guy who can throw the football. This is a guy who's won games and started a ton of games in the NFL. He's there for a reason. Maybe you think the Bengals would have rather had him or Joe Flacco? Like, there's probably an opportunity to move this dude, do something with this dude if you're not going to play him in that moment where you don't believe in your quarterback. How can you tell your star wide receiver, our quarterback, I don't trust him to try and get you the ball at the end of the half, but we're going to stick with him? It's one of the more baffling decisions I've at any point in the fourth quarter, any point in the second half. You've got to attempt to bring in a quarterback who can throw the ball. You can see it with Justin Fields. And I'm pretty sure it was my man Willie Colon who said it in the postgame. Justin Fields needs to see it before he throws it. I thought that was put perfectly. He holds on forever. He waits till the receiver's open. Even on the final play of the game before the fourth down, the third down, that would have given them an opportunity to have a better kick. And we'll get to the kick and the idea that you got to get to the 35. What are you talking about? We'll get to the postgame in a second. But even on that throw, he's got Wilson on the out. It's too late. It's behind him. And anybody who thinks, yes, it was in his hands, yes, he had control of it for a second, he put him in such an awful position to attempt to hold on to that ball as the defender comes, you know, obviously in, as the throw is 2 seconds or 3 seconds too late and behind him. That is an embarrassing throw on what should be an easy play. He has to see it before he throws it. There is no throwing receivers open. There is no understanding where they're going to be on the field. There is no throwing. How many times you're watching the NFL, and this isn't news. This isn't like, I'm not, I'm watching it just like you are. Like, I'm not breaking any ground here. They throw it before the route breaks. Like, you know where your player is going to be. You know the timing. You know he's going to be open. Get it to him. They're playing, man, the whole game, the Denver Broncos. Give your team a chance. Give your players a chance. He was awful in this game. I get it. He was awful. It's up to the coach to move on from him. It's up for the coach who told us all how bad he was, how little he trusted him, to give the team a chance to win the football game by changing quarterbacks. And this nonsense, I'm listening to the postgame too, on SNY, and they're told, well, you don't want to lose him. Who cares? You could go back to him next week. He could still be the starter moving forward if you want to try and find out about him, which I think is pointless at this point. But you can bench him for Tyrod Taylor to go win one football game and then go back to him, and if he sucks again, bring in Tyrod Taylor at halftime in the next game. You can't tell the world I don't trust my quarterback and bring him out. This is Mr. Accountability. This is Mr. You better not fumble a kickoff. I'm going to cut you. This is a coach who literally said, if you can't help us win football games, there's no place for you. This guy was killing your football game. He was ruining the opportunity you had to win the game. It's your own words. If you can't help us win a football game, you're not going to play. That's what you said. He's killing the game. He's killing the game, and you admitted it with how you handled the end of the first half.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How can you stick with him? How can you tell us it's about winning now, as you did at the Combine? How can you tell us it's about winning now? How can you tell us it's about winning, building a winning culture when you don't do what you know is in the best interest of winning the game? It would have been one thing if he trusted him and he kept going. He said it. With his actions, he said it. I don't trust Justin Fields to make plays. How do you allow that to continue in the second half? How? I don't get it. Negative 10 rushing yards. Passing yards, rather. And let me ask you this. Your two best weapons on the offensive team, obviously. Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. Breece Hall had shown more explosiveness in the beginning of the season than he had all of last year. Right? We're starting to see Breece Hall really make inroads. He was, you know, incredible in the first couple games, rushing for 7 yards a clip. Like, he's one of the better, in my mind, you know, dual-purpose threats at the running back position in the league. He's good catching the ball out of the backfield. How can you not have a single target to Breece Hall? How do you not throw some kind of screen? How do you not set up, just give your quarterback who's clearly struggling and can't throw the ball down the field, attempt to get him an easy completion, attempt to try and get him rolling, attempt to build some momentum. Not a single target? To one of the better dual threat running backs in the game? I heard a caller as I'm driving in. No play action pass. Like, there was nothing to this game plan. Nothing. He only ran the ball seven times. He can't throw the ball. They don't have a game plan that suits him. It's not like they're game planning for just a running quarterback. Like, do that then. Come out in the second half. If you're going to play him and you know he can't throw the ball down the field, come out and play the game completely different. Come out and play the game for a running quarterback. I don't care what you do. Run the option. You've got to have a game plan to put your quarterback in a better position than that if you're going to roll him out there for the entire second half. The game plan was awful. The decision-making was awful. He gave up at the end of the first half. He gave up. And then proceeded to give up. And then, I'm sorry, the comments in the postgame, and you know, Lori played it. We'll play the highlight later probably. Costello, who's been covering the Jets for forever for the Post, asked him about a quarterback change. And Mr. Accountability, again, that's what he's here for. He's not here because he's the greatest defensive mind, although I'm sure he's a good one. The defense played great. But he's here because he's some sort of culture builder. He's here because he holds players accountable. He's here because he knows the market. Remember that one? He's a Jet. He's been here. He understands what it's like to be a New York Jet. He was there. He could tell us how windy it was in the AFC Championship game in 1998. He understands the market. He knows the fan base. He understands what's going on with this team. He knows the market. He knows the market and then thinks a question about the quarterback status is a ridiculous question. When they're 0-6, when he himself told you, I don't trust him to make plays, when they threw for negative 10 rushing yards, the first time in 30 years, it's one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the NFL. Like, that's not overstating it. It is one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the NFL. Your team is 0-6, and you're Mr. Accountability, and you are flabbergasted that someone would dare ask you about the status of the quarterback next week? That Costello, to quote the coach, should know better than that? That is absolutely the most ignorant, absent-minded, unaware of your surroundings comment from a head coach I've ever heard. I'm not going to answer that question right now. Suitable. Hey, look, the game just ended. We'll talk about that. Suitable. What kind of question is that? What kind of question is, hey, what's the status of the quarterback next week? That's a ridiculous question. Hey, guys have bad games. Can we play it? I know you had it for Lori. I know guys have bad games. That's what happens. It's the NFL. You don't just bench them. You cut the kick returner after one fumble. After one fumble. You are Mr. Accountability. Everybody is subject to benching. Everyone. All right, let's hear the coach again. This is when Costello asked him about the status of the quarterback next week.
Is he going to be your quarterback next week, or would you consider?
What kind of question is that?
Look, he did not have a good game. I mean, I think it's a fair question.
There's a number of guys that, you know, I mean, sometimes this league is like this, and there are guys that have bad games. That doesn't mean you just bench them. Come on, you know better than that.
That I cannot believe those words came out of his mouth. I mean, I was stunned by his decision not to go to Tyrod Taylor. I was stunned by the thought process at the end of the first half. I was pretty surprised for him not to kick that field goal or run the ball more down that last drive. I was pretty stunned to hear that he needed to get to the 35. I cannot believe. Like, I honestly, I'm not sure that audio is real. It must be AI. Because how on earth can a coach who was brought here, because he's Mr. Accountable, he's Mr. Culture Building, he's about winning at all costs, he's coming from Dan Campbell and will bite your kneecaps off. He played under the great Bill Parcells. He knows the franchise. He knows the fan base. He knows the market. And yet, the media should know better than to ask a question about the status of a quarterback who got sacked 9 times, and I would tell you at least 6, probably 7, are all on him. The team threw for negative 10 yards. It's one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the NFL, and you would rather just watch the clock run out than to give him a chance to go down and score. And it's a ridiculous question that Ryan Costello should know better than to ask on the status of the quarterback next week. That it is hard to fathom how that is his response. It's hard to understand how he could think that question is ridiculous. He's the same dude who cut the kick returner for fumbling in the first game of the week, first game of the season. If you can't help us win football games, there is no place for you. How did that quarterback help you win football games? How did Justin Fields help you win a football game? How has he helped you win any? You're 0-6. Tua Tagovailoa is in the post game after the Dolphins lost to the Chargers, talking about major dysfunction inside the team. They are falling apart. Their coach is clueless. He's had a miserable season, Tua. They're a joke of a franchise right now. He's admitting to players not showing up to meetings. They kicked the crap out of the New York Jets. They're the worst team in the NFL. They're the only team that hasn't won a game. They scored 11 points. Two was on a safety, and 2 field goals were gifted to them off of turnovers and a kick return. The two of the 3 field goals they kick in this game, they start the drive in field goal position. It is an embarrassing performance of the highest level. And to ask if the quarterback is going to play next week is a ridiculous question that the media should know better than to ask. It's one of the more incredibly dumb answers to a question I've ever heard. And it's someone who has no idea what the fan base expects. It's someone who has no idea what the market is. It's someone who has no idea what goes on here, what's expected of this team. Has no idea of all the things he was hired because he had a great understanding of. It's an absolutely baffling morning. It was an absolutely baffling morning. That's as bad and it's on the players too. The defense played great. Justin Fields was terrible in the game. But that's one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen. It's one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen. None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. Fake punt just to run the clock out. Not trusting his quarterback, yet not changing his quarterback. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The blatant contradictory of, I'm unwilling to trust my quarterback to throw the ball down the field, and I'm unwilling to take him out of the game. And more than that, you're stupid for asking me to. Rough one. Rough one, Jet fans. This is as bad as it gets. And now you're playing out the string, and here's the long question, right? Because we're going to talk about this coach, and I don't like firing, no matter how bad it is. I don't love firing coaches year one. You made a decision. He can get better. But what went on today, and then the idea, and here's the scary part, and this is why, unfortunately, in 2025, I don't like hiring defensive coaches, especially when I don't have a quarterback, because the Jets are most likely going to be at the top of this draft. I can't imagine them not being. Maybe not at the tippy top. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. They might win two games. But the biggest decision in this franchise's history moving forward is going to be made at the draft when they have to pick who's going to be the future of the franchise. Who's going to be the quarterback? Are you going to allow this coach who refused to do what needed to be done? Are you going to let this coach be part of the decision on what quarterback, after how you just saw him handle this quarterback in this game? Is this the coach that's going to be part of the brain trust that decides the next quarterback to run this franchise? This is as bad as it gets, Jet fans. This might be a new low point for a franchise that is built on them. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll obviously talk Jets here. And one of the more puzzling, baffling, horrendously coached games I've ever seen, as the Jets are now 0-6 and are without question the worst team in the NFL. We'll still talk Jackson Dart and the Giants. We saw the Toronto Blue Jays, and we'll just wonder this. As the Toronto Blue Jays lose game one after hitting the leadoff home run and then doing nothing the rest of the game. I'm not saying they're cheating, and I mean that. I'm not saying they're cheating. What the hell did they have on the New York Yankees? Because they pounded the Yankees. Every pitch who came in got lit up. The fifth best starter on the Seattle Mariners shuts them down for six innings. Oh, my goodness.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 2:31. McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's hear from you, Jet fans. The frustration level must be through the roof. This was a winnable game against a solid team. The Denver Broncos offense could do nothing in this game, and it got to the point where they handled it a little bit like the Jets by the end of it, where they knew the Jets weren't scoring and they took no chances. But, I mean, the Jets defense came to play. There's no doubt about it. They showed up. They played their best game of the season by far, and they had an opportunity to beat a Denver Broncos team that is now 4-2, and, you know, a team that made the playoffs last year, projected to make the playoffs this year. And now they will take on the New York Giants, and if they play like they did against the Jets, I think the Giants are going to win that game.
Do you think the Giants and Jackson Dart will have more than 10 net passing yards?
I would imagine so.
And that Jackson Dart will have more than 45 on his own?
I would think so.
And that's the opening drive.
And that's the other thing, too, like, we joke about it. Like, even if Jackson Dart, like, did have that kind of game, sticking with him makes sense. You're trying to find Justin Fields. He was like a, you know, he's a bridge quarterback who you thought maybe if it worked, possibly, you know, he's like a lottery ticket. Yeah, exactly. He's a lottery ticket. He's someone who, like, if it worked, great. If not, you move on. Like, they don't owe him anything. They didn't draft him. Like, they don't owe him a thing. He didn't deserve to play the second half. You can still go back to him. You can start him next week. I don't think anybody would have been upset. You bring in the quarterback to help you try and win the game. You get a better game plan next week and see how it goes for the first half. And then you bench him again if you have to. And then eventually you move on. But, like, they don't owe him anything. You're trying to win the game. That's what this coach is about. And yet, like, to a guy who's on a 2-year contract, who's not the future of the team, that's quite clear, I don't understand the loyalty. I don't understand sticking with him, and I don't understand how he could not understand how the rest of us don't understand. Like, I'm confused by it. At the end of the press conference, like, I know that's a lot of I'm, you know, having some fun with it, but, like, I don't know how he thinks that's a ridiculous question. And to put it as, you know better than that. Are you serious? You know better than that to ask about whether or not a quarterback who, again, is not the future of the team, who you didn't draft, who you have no real, you know, investment in, who just threw for negative 10 yards. How could you possibly tell anyone? You're 0-6, dude. How can you tell any report? That's you know better. You can ask a better question than that. You know better than that. Man, oh, man. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Chris in Queens. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
I watched the game yesterday morning.
Yeah?
Justin Fields can't throw. He cannot throw the ball. He can't throw it down the field. He can't put it down the field. Great runner. He can't throw. I mean, they're 0-6. They might as well just go 0-17 and get the first pick in the draft for next year.
There you go. I mean, listen, you know me. If you do listen to the show, and I did it a lot on Saturday, I made one comment about how they're probably better off losing the game, and I got call after call killing me for the idea of tanking. I know it's early. I mean, maybe that was the plan. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe it's all a big facade. Maybe this coach is one step ahead of all of us, and he's losing games on purpose because it's what's best interest of the franchise. And they'll get their quarterback next year. I don't know. They probably are better off. Let's be honest. I hate to say, I don't want to make the show about tanking. I really don't. I do not want to make the show about my opinion of tanking, and tanking is a scourge. I had a caller on Saturday call me a communist. That it's un-American. I mean, it was half a bit, but you get my point. Like, I know people hate it. I don't want to get into tanking or not. Today isn't necessarily a conversation about tanking and whether or not they should win anymore. We all know, if you're being sensible, that you're better off with 0 wins than 4. I mean, that's how I feel, but it doesn't matter. This was a winnable game, and this coach is trying to win the game. This team needs wins, right? They just need something to go right for them. No first-year head coach wants to go winless. No one wants to go 0-6. He had this game won. This was a game right there for the taking, man. His defense and special teams gave him a chance to win this football game. Special teams was great. Great kick returns, keeping the Broncos, you know, pinned into the, you know, their own end zone. Like, special teams was great. They get a safety. Defense even did some scoring. Like, they got their first turnover of the season, which set up the first field goal of the game. Like, this game was winnable. And he refused to make the obvious decision to go to Tyrod Taylor. It wasn't even debatable. And it's not me thinking it or anybody else or all these talking heads or Brian Costello or someone who covers the team or anybody who made the trip down to London. Like, he told us by his actions that he doesn't trust the quarterback. How can you stick with a quarterback you don't trust, who you have no real loyalty to, no connection to, no equity in? How can you look the rest of your team in the face and say, I'm at the point where I don't even want to try to score, but we're going to stick with him? It just doesn't make any sense. Vinny in Rockland, what's up, Vinny?
Hey, well, listen, I can understand what's happening. It's a joke organization. He can't coach. The guy can't coach. The way he handled before the half, I don't know what he was doing.
The only thing that contradicts it a little bit is the fake punt. I know you don't want to give it back. Just run the ball, but you pull a fake punt out of your new what, you know what, and then you still just have the same game plan of it wasn't about scoring in that moment. It was about making sure the Denver Broncos do not get the ball back. He didn't want a mistake. He didn't want to give up points because he was trusting his defense and not trusting his offense. And at 0-5, it makes no sense not to go be aggressive there. But that was the game plan. The game plan was, I'm not making a mistake right now.
I know, but he had to make a change in the second half.
He had to take him out.
I mean, the word from Chicago when he played, they said the guy can't throw. He's not an accurate passer. All he has was his legs, and now they couldn't protect him. He can't throw downfield. I don't know why they got him in the first place. And they don't make a change for the second half after that. It reminded me of old football games in the early 70s, where it was all defense, like they were going against the steel curtain or something. I don't know. It was just an embarrassment.
No, I mean, it was an embarrassment. I just, the thoughts contradict themselves. His actions contradict themselves. Like, that's the only thing. Like, that's the main thing that's bothering me. The post game and answering the question the way he did bothers me. But what really bothers me is the contradiction. On one hand, he tells you, I don't trust the quarterback. On the other hand, he refused to bench him. I don't understand that dichotomy. I'm having a tough time wrapping my mind around that idea. If he was out there throwing it with him in the end of the first half, if he was out there calling plays, if he was out there suddenly scheming up a running attack for him, he had 7 carries in the game. Have him be a part of the run game. Change up run some play action passes. Run some screens. Get Breece Hall involved in the passing game. Do something. I mean, it became clear he couldn't throw. And then it became clear they didn't want him to. And yet they still didn't make the change. And then at the end of the game, like, again, do I think a 62-yard field goal from Nick Folk on an unfamiliar field out in London is a successful, like, a positive way to win the game? Do I think that's a good, high percentage play to win a football game? No, I don't. I don't love that kick. I get it. But what was it, 4th and 7 or 4th and 8? They haven't been able to pull off that play the entire game. They had negative 10 passing yards at that point. Negative 10. Oh, I'm sorry. They had 2, right? The sack made it negative.
He lost 12 yards
on the
sack.
Yeah, he lost 12 yards on the sack. Okay. I think the point is pretty obvious, though. They couldn't throw the football. I would have attempted the kick. I think you have to attempt the kick. I don't know why he didn't attempt the kick. But then in the postgame, another thing that just baffled me, and it sounded like he didn't have answers necessarily when there was pushback on it. Oh, no, we were looking at the 35. Again, it didn't come into play. They didn't get to the 35. And I do understand not thinking a 62-yard field goal is your best bet. I kind of get that a little bit. I still would have done it because I thought 4th and 8 was zero chance. But what are you talking about the 35? Are you telling me that for a kicker who hit a 58-yard field goal this season, that a 52-yard field goal was the only anything short of anything longer than 52 you weren't kicking? If that's a 58-yard field goal, you're not kicking it? Like, again, it didn't come into play. It doesn't really matter. But I just didn't understand that answer. We were looking at the 35? What are you talking about? There is no way if that's a 55-yard field goal, you're not kicking it. There's no way. We would go apoplectic if he didn't kick a 55-yard field goal. In today's NFL, where they've got these new juice balls, they got new balls for kicking, they're kicking it. Every game you turn on, there's a 60-yard field goal. You're not going to kick a 55-yarder? Again, that's just me getting mad at some nonsense in the postgame because that situation didn't come to reality. But, man, I just didn't understand his postgame at all. I thought this was one of the more puzzling in-game decision-making and then post-game sound. Like, it was just, It's one of these games that really make you wonder, like, if the Jets, how, if you can move forward with this guy. Like, I'm sorry, he's a good dude, and he's been a good coach. He deserved the job. I wouldn't have hired him, but his resume, he was well warranted in getting a head coaching job. And maybe another chance somewhere else would work. I don't know. And I don't like calling for people's jobs 6 games in. I think that is really premature. I hate doing it. I'm not going to do it today. But, I mean, not that it matters what I say. But, like, I don't – it's getting to the point week by week where I don't know. Like, this was as bad a coaching performance as I've ever seen. This is up there with Joe Judge running back-to-back quarterback sneaks up against the end zone. But that was at the end of a dead season with, I believe it was the third string quarterback at that point. I don't think it was Jones. Like, I don't, hard to fathom what just went on. EZ in Hackensack. What's up, EZ?
What's up, C? Listen, wasn't Saleh last year fired for less? Am I crazy?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt he was fired for less. Now, to be fair, though, he had a longer track record. He was with the team for a while. He did have Aaron Rodgers as quarterback as opposed to Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And that's another conversation about Aaron Glenn that we'll have at some point today. But, like, this is the first year. But no, there's no doubt. Robert Saleh, in my mind, never came close to having as bad a coaching job as Aaron Glenn did yesterday. Never close.
And his first order of duty was to do what?
Aaron Glenn?
Rodgers, the future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes.
We don't need your services.
Correct.
Come on.
No, listen, I'm with you. And this is why I wanted Aaron Rodgers. Do I think that this team necessarily goes to the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers? Not the way they've played so far, but again, do I think there's talent on this team? Yeah, I think the offensive line can play. It's been worse the last couple weeks. It wasn't 9 sacks bad, I promise you that. Do I think Breece Hall is talented? Absolutely. Do I think that, you know, Garrett Wilson is talented? Obviously. Do I think this defense has a chance to be better than it's been? I think they showed that today, although the Broncos offense under Bo Nix really hasn't played all that well this year. Couple of moments, they did just beat the Eagles, although the Eagles are kind of falling apart here. But, like, the reason I wanted Aaron Rodgers was to help this coach have stability. Like that, you're throwing away, and again, in the manner in which he did, we don't know exactly what happened. We know Aaron Rodgers' side of it. I don't remember now, but I don't think the Jets even commented on it or dismissed anything or said, you know, those events didn't happen, whatever the case may be, right? Aaron Rodgers tells you it was 20 seconds into the conversation that they pretty much told them they're moving on. Whatever. They decided to move on from Aaron Rodgers. He is now healthy when every other quarterback in the division is not. He is healthy. They have an enormous lead in the division. He's going to win the AFC North this year. And they have a quarterback who Mike Tomlin would not play despite the corpse of Russell Wilson ruining his season the last 3 weeks and into the postseason, and still wouldn't play Justin Fields, who was 4-2 in the 6 games he played at the start of the year. That told me all I needed to know. Mike Tomlin is one of the best head coaches in the NFL. Is he a quarterback whisperer? No, but he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. He does not do things that put him in a worse position to win football games. When Russell Wilson was playing the way he was and he still didn't go to Justin Fields, that told me all I needed to know. And instead, they let him go to Pittsburgh and look at the difference. If he had a quarterback here, and again, he's Mr. Culture. He's Mr., you know, let build the culture, include one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived in it, and go out there and just at least have a competent quarterback play, someone you can rely on. Now, again, I'm not saying that would have changed the season. I'm just saying I don't, like, why the hell isn't he here giving this team a chance? He would have worked out a contract situation. You could have probably restructured it. You could have done something. As opposed to bringing in this quarterback who can't throw the football. And again, I'm pretty sure it was Willie Colon, but it was definitely in the Jets postgame. He needs to see it to throw it. That is exactly, I thought that was perfectly put. That's exactly how Justin Fields plays the game. And it might have worked in Ohio State where, you know, his top two receivers are NFL ready. His offensive line, four of the five are starters in the NFL, and they were dominating weaker opponents. Maybe it works. But in the NFL, you can't wait to see it before you throw it. It can't unfold and then make decisions. This has been his entire career. You took a flyer on him. I would have stuck with Aaron Rodgers. Outside of Aaron Rodgers, I didn't hate it. I didn't think there was a much better option than Justin Fields. Sure, try. But in games, where he can't throw it, can you have some sort of offense where you build around his legs? Like, he only ran the ball seven times. If he can't throw it and you don't trust him to, scheme up something. Have that in your back pocket. Have plan B of, okay, now he's a running quarterback. Run something different. Do something. Give him easy passes. Get Breece Hall involved in the pass game. Something. But yeah. Yeah. As he's asked about, as he opens that press conference, he opens the press conference talking about how inept his passing attack was, and he let Aaron Rodgers go. Aaron Rodgers had to get out of here for the good of the culture building. And they are 0-6, and he's about to go win a division. Frank in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Frank?
Yeah, how you doing? I grew up in Queens, New York. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I became an Ets fan, ETS, for both teams. But here's the way I look at it. I think they're tanking it, and I don't want to say that, but I feel it's true. I mean,
you think they're losing on purpose?
They had a chance to get Josh Allen, and they didn't. I mean, the whole organization is not working.
When did they have a chance to get Josh Allen in the draft?
Yeah, they were next in line to draft him.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't. But that's such revisionist history, and it has nothing to do with the Jets tanking right now. I mean, I got to go look. I don't even remember if they had a chance to draft him. I'm sure they did.
They drafted Sam Darnold instead.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm losing my mind. They drafted Sam Darnold instead. With the third overall pick. All right, so they got that wrong. They could have had Lamar Jackson, too. Sam Darnold's doing quite well, actually. He just won a game on the road. And they are unstoppable, those Seahawks on the road, man. But that has nothing to do with why they're tanking now. That has nothing to do with it. And I don't think they're tanking. I don't think any first-year head coach wants to go 0-6. There's no doubt... He did what he thought was best for the team to win the football game. I don't know how those two things go together. Like that's the problem. He thought it was in the team's best interest to not risk making a mistake instead of going down and trying to score to help them win the game. He played not to lose instead of to win. Right? That's obvious. I don't think that's indisputable. I can't even imagine Aaron Glenn disputing that. Like that's how they played it. They played the game not to lose. He didn't want to go win it. He just wanted to make sure he didn't lose it in that moment. And his defense was playing great. I think it was a bit extreme, though. Like, okay, it's a bit extreme. You're in the red zone, third and 11, third and 8, and you don't want to push it because you don't want to pass up the 3 points you have in your back pocket. Okay. You're 0-5, dude. You're 0-5. Go be aggressive. But fine. He felt it was in the best interest of the team to not make a mistake because he doesn't trust his quarterback to throw the football down the field. How do you stick with a quarterback that you literally told your superstar wide receiver you're fighting with him on the sidelines about it, that you don't trust his quarterback to go make a play, and you stick with him? How do you tell this team that flew to London, that defense is playing its ass off? How do you look at that group, Mr. Accountability, Mr. Winning Culture, Mr. We're About Winning Right Now? How do you look that group in the face and tell them, I don't trust him to throw the ball down the field, but I ain't benching him either? I don't understand it, man. If I'm a Jets player, I'm furious. And it's not about Justin Fields. Like, he's a good guy, and maybe next week he plays better. He had a great week number one. He played better week one against Pittsburgh than I thought he was capable of playing. Who knows? Maybe next week he plays that well. In the moment, in that game, it wasn't it, man. It just clearly wasn't it. He was holding the ball forever. He couldn't make decisions. He was getting his ass kicked. He was causing bad, he was taking bad sacks. He was inaccurate with the ball. He couldn't go through his progressions. He couldn't make a decision. He was awful. You knew it. Everyone knew it. And for some reason, you didn't do what was in the best interest of the team. I'm having a tough time with it. Ron in Flatbush. What's up, Ron?
Yes, sir.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, buddy. It's sad for my team. It's sad. And I don't know whether Glenn is bad or they're tanking. I feel like those are my decisions. Like, they're either tanking because I don't know what Woody's telling them. I don't know if he has an ace card like Woody said, hey, it's okay. And I don't know because if you're at the 50-yard line and you run the ball three times, you're going to get at least six, seven. You're going to get at least 6 yards. I don't care. And that field goal ain't going to be 62 yards. It's going to be 58. They could have ran it three times. They could have done a screen pass to the running back who never got an attempt.
No.
So to me, it's like, are y'all doing this on purpose? Everything you said earlier, I was listening to you, goes to why the hell did my team hire an inexperienced defensive coach again? He has been making mistakes from the day one. I honestly believe they should be at minimum, sir, 3-3. If they had a real coach in here, it is no argument that Jets could be 4-2 with what they have. They should have won at least 3 games now, and he has 0. I think, personally, it's on Woody. I don't know if he's okaying the whole situation because it seems like in that game there's evidence that they really didn't care. Like, they really was trying to, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Ron, I hear what you're saying, Ron, and I don't disagree with you that it doesn't make sense, but I can't make the leap to they're trying not to win the football game. I just can't do that. You know it's true, too. You're just trying to make sense of it. I get it. We're trying to figure out what the hell just happened. They're not trying to lose the football game. Glenn doesn't want to lose all these games, man. He might get fired year one. You know, he's looking to continue his career. He doesn't want to lose these games. I promise you. He made the decisions he thought were in the best interest of the team. I just don't know how he came to that conclusion. I don't know how he can honestly feel the way he felt about Justin Fields in that moment at the end of the first half and then felt like you had to play him the rest of the game. Like, that's what I don't understand. What are you trying to... Like, are you trying to justify the idea that you gave up on Aaron Rodgers and brought in Justin Fields? Because that's silly. Who cares? No one's going to hold you to Justin Fields. Like, honestly, no one's going to hold you to Justin Fields. Bring in Tyrod Taylor. He's one of the more capable backups in the NFL. He truly is. He can play. He gets banged up, but he can play. Why would you not go to him? It just doesn't. I have a tough time understanding the thought process of how he handled the end of the first half and then not go to him. They were talking about it in the post game. I was thinking the exact same way. You know, Gelbs was saying it. He's like, I hated it, but at least I said, okay, this is how they're going to play it. They'll come out with Tyrod Taylor in the second half and go about it. They didn't want to make the move right then on that final drive. Like, I thought the exact same thing. When they walk off, after they just astoundingly, like, think about it in that moment. Like, nobody knows what's going on. Not the broadcast. Obviously, you listen to Peyton in the postgame. He had no idea. Like, the final 20 seconds are just clicking off. They're standing around, and you're like, what are they doing? You're not going to run a play? Like, it was just astounding. And so to handle it like that, to walk off the field getting yelled at by your wide receiver, who Garrett Wilson said in the postgame, I didn't know what was going on, join the club. Nobody knew what was going on. He said, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what the plan was, rather. That's how he, I didn't know what the plan was. And once I found out the plan, I wasn't happy about it. Yeah. So you're literally walking off the field after you chose to just give up in the final moments of the first half. Your star wide receiver is furious with you and furious with the plan. You know you don't trust the quarterback to throw the ball down the field, and you come out and he plays every snap of the rest of the second half. And then in the postgame, you have the nerve to tell people that's a dumb question? Aaron Glenn had himself a day. That is for sure. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back. Continue to take your jet calls. Get into some other things, too. We could still talk Jackson Dart and the Giants, as I'll tell you. What a pleasurable... I mean, if it wasn't for the freaking Jets just being miserable in the first game, like, it is nice to not have... Your team wins on Thursday, there's nothing better. It hasn't happened since Tom Coughlin, for Giant fans. It has not happened since Tom Coughlin. But a Thursday night win... And then you get to just enjoy it and roll through a Sunday watching the rest of the NFL squirm. It was great. Great Sunday for Giant fans. That is terrific. And the Cowboys lose? Terrific Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.